Lanier scribbled on his legal pad as if he was learning something new.
"Now, just to summarize, Miss Lang, you worked for Mr. Hubbard for 3 years, the Tingleys 3, the school 2, Mrs. Gillenwater 1, the Glovers 3 or 4, and 6 years for Miss Carston. According to my math, that's approximately 20 years. Does that sound about right?"
"It does, give or take a year here, a year there," Letty said confidently.
"And you've had no other employers in the past 20 or so years?"
She shook her head. "No." Lanier was going somewhere, but Jake couldn't stop him. The inflections of his voice, the slight hints of suspicion, the arched eyebrows, the matter-of-factness of his sentences. He was trying to disguise all these, but to Jake's trained ears and eyes, they meant trouble.
"That's 6 employers in 20 years, Miss Lang. How many times were you fired?"
"None. I mean, I was terminated after Mr. Hubbard died, and Miss Carston got sick, and Mr. and Mrs. Tingley passed. But that was just because the job sort of played out, you know?"
"You've never been fired for doing a bad job or for doing something wrong?"
"No, sir, never."
Lanier abruptly backed away from the podium, looked up at Judge Attlee, and said,
"That's all, Judge. I reserve the right to recall this witness later in the trial."
He walked smugly to his table, and at the last second, Jake saw him wink at Lester Chilcott. Letty had just lied, and Lanier was about to expose her. Jake, though, had no idea what was coming, thus he had no way to prevent it. His instincts were to get her off the witness stand. He stood and said,
"Your Honor, the proponents rest."
Judge Attlee said,
"Do you have some witnesses, Mr. Lanier?"
"Oh, yes."
"Then call the first one."
"The contestants call Mr. Fritz Pickering."
"Who?"
Jake blurted.
"Fritz Pickering,"
Lanier repeated loudly and sarcastically, as if Jake were hard of hearing.
"Never heard of him. He's not on your witness list."
"He's out in the rotunda," Lanier said to a bailiff, "waiting."
Jake was shaking his head at Judge Attlee and said,
"He can't testify if he's not listed as a witness, Judge."
"I'm calling him anyway," Lanier said.
Fritz Pickering entered the courtroom and followed a bailiff to the witness stand.
"I object, Your Honor," Jake said.
Judge Attlee removed his reading glasses, glared at Wade Lanier, and said,
"All right, let's take a 15-minute recess. I'll see the lawyers in my chambers. Lawyers only, no paralegals or staff."
The jury was hurried out of the courtroom as the lawyers followed the judge into the rear hallway and into his cramped chambers. He did not remove his robe, but sat down and looked as confused as Jake.
"Start talking," he said to Lanier.
"Your Honor, this witness is not an evidentiary witness. Thus, he does not have to be made known to the other side. His purpose is to impeach the credibility of another witness, not to give evidence. I was not required to put him on the list or in any way divulge his name because I was never certain he would be called. Now, based on the testimony of Letty Lang and her inability to tell the truth, this witness is suddenly crucial to our case."
Judge Attlee exhaled as every lawyer in the room racked his brain for bits and pieces of the rules of evidence and the rules of civil procedure. At the moment, there was little doubt Lanier had full command of the rules regarding witness impeachment. This was his ambush, one he and Lester Chilcott had planned perfectly. Jake wanted to gush forth in some cogent and sensible argument, but brilliance failed him miserably at the moment.
"What will the witness say?" Judge Attlee asked.
"Letty Lang once worked for his mother, Mrs. Irene Pickering. Fritz and his sister fired Letty when his sister found a handwritten will leaving $50,000 in cash to Letty. She just told at least three lies. Number one, she said she had worked only for those people I mentioned over the past 20 or so years. Mrs. Pickering hired her in 1978 and they fired her in 1980. Number two, she has in fact been fired as a housekeeper. Number three, she said she has never seen a will. Fritz and his sister showed her the handwritten will the day they fired her. There may be another one or two. I can't think of them all right now.
Jake's shoulders fell as his gut clenched, his vision blurred, and the color drained from his face. It was imperative that he say something intelligent, but everything was blank. Then lightning struck, and he asked, "When did you find Fritz Pickering?"
"I didn't meet him until today," Lanier said smugly.
"That's not what I asked. When did you find out about the Pickerings?"
"During discovery." "Again, Jake, it's another example of us outworking you. We've found more witnesses. We've been out there beating the bushes, working our asses off. I don't know what you've been doing."
"And the rules require you to submit the names of your witnesses. 2 weeks ago, you dumped the names of 45 new ones on the table. You're not playing by the rules here, Wade. Judge, this is a clear violation of the rules."
Judge Attlee raised a hand and said,
"Enough. Allow me to think a moment."
He stood, walked to his desk, took one of a dozen pipes from a rack, stuffed it with Sir Walter Raleigh, lit up, blew a thick cloud of smoke toward the ceiling, and drifted away. On one side of the table, Wade Lanier, Lester Chilcott, Zach Zietler, and Joe Bradley Hunt sat smugly, silently, waiting for a decision that would send the trial either north or south, with no return. On the other side, Jake sat alone, scribbling notes that not even he could decipher. He felt ill and couldn't make his hands stop shaking. Wade Lanier had pulled a masterful dirty trick, and it was infuriating. At the same time, Jake wanted to grab Letty and lash out at her. Why had she not mentioned the Pickering matter? They had spent countless hours together since October. His Honor blew more smoke and said,
"This is too crucial to keep out. I'll allow Mr. Pickering to testify, but within limits."
Angrily, Jake said,
"Trial by ambush. This will be automatically reversible. We'll be back in 2 years to do this all over again."
Angrily, Judge Attlee barked,
"Don't lecture, Jake. I've never been reversed by the Supreme Court. Never."
Jake took a deep breath and said,
"Sorry.